Thank you, Tom. Thank you. And hello, everybody. It's good to see everybody and their day counts and the excitement. It's so wonderful to be a witness to miracles. And you may be wondering, if you're new here, what does step 12 got to do with me? And I think it's important that you can see some promises realized, that there is a path, and that you are on that path, a road of happy destiny. And no matter where you are in that path, it's always good, I think, to know where you're going. Not that there's a final destination, there isn't. It's a direction, not a destination. So my job here is to share my lived experience around step 12. Not my opinions, not what I like or dislike, but my lived experience. I also want to say to you, this is not the way to do it. This is my way. And if you think it all sounds the same, you're incorrect. We all have our own ways of dealing things, our own inner experiences, which are rich in nature. And we come to trust that deep, rich experience. So we almost customize, if you like, the experience of each of the steps. And I'm going to share with you my experience with step 12. So we used to say a lot, don't compare. Just be open. Be open to what your God is could be saying to you. As we learned last week about prayer and meditation, that we pray only for his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. That's what constitutes step 11. Only is a big word there. Now, Wilson, I don't think meant that we don't pray for others or neighbors or sick people to get well. I don't think that's what he was referring to. I think exactly what he was referring to is just not step 11. All of those prayers are wonderful and beautiful and loving. But when we come to understand that I'm only to pray for in the 11th step, the conscious contact of knowing what God's will is for me, and the power, there he goes with the power to carry that out. So I want to take you way back for a moment. July 1980, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I'm sitting on the park bench in the middle of a weekday. Families are together at the picnic tables. Kids are playing in the pool behind me. I can hear them, the noise, the splashing, the mothers calling the names I can't quite make out. And I'm sitting there, looking up at this deep blue sky. There's almost no clouds, just blue, deep, clean blue. And I'm thinking, my God, this is so beautiful. It's like I'd lived under the sky all my life, but I never took notice of how I was experiencing my life and what around me. I just took it for granted. And I'm watching the birds and looking at the leaves and the trees, the flowers in the bed gardens across from me. And I'm thinking, my God, the whole thing has changed. You see, there's a difference between a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening. A spiritual experience is something that happens to you, a moment, a flash, a feeling that passes through you and then it's gone. But an awakening is when the scales fall from your eyes. You can finally see where you've been blind. There's a sense of purpose. You're no longer asleep. You're very much aware. And that's what happens as a result of the 12 steps. Everything changes, everything transforms. Not new, but being restored, which is absolutely incredible. Now, most people talk about step 12 in three parts. First is the awakening, having had one. Second is the service of carrying the message to the other alcoholics. The third is practicing principles in all our affairs. And the third part, that's where people don't spend a lot of time. But that's where I went to go tonight. This is as important. Tuesday morning at 9:23. I'm on the phone with a client. And we've been working together for months, good relationship, trust built. And he asks me a question about a project I said I'd finish last week and I didn't. Now I have a choice in this moment. I can think, what are the facts here? I didn't finish it. I got pulled into something else. I need to tell him the truth and give him a new date. Or I can start thotting. Thotting. You know that word from step 11? That's when the mind just starts running old patterns, flippant, irrelevant. The voice that says he's going to think you're unreliable. He's going to fire you. You always do this. You're a fraud. None of that is a fact. That's the old sickness wearing a clean shirt. So I stop, I take a breath, and I say, I didn't get to it. I got pulled into something urgent, and I should have called you on Friday to let you know. I can have it to you by Thursday. Will that work? He says, yes. That's it. That's the practice of the principle of honesty. Not complicated, not dramatic, just the truth, said out loud in the moment it's needed. And here's the thing. I don't get a trophy for that. There's no parade. The sky doesn't open up, but something happens in my body. There's a settling, a rightness. A sense that I'm not performing anymore. I'm just here. Sure, there's a knowing-doing gap. And I think our brain tricks us because we think we know something, we actually think we are doing it. We think we're experiencing it. The only way to experience it is to practice it. And if you don't practice these new principles honestly, humility, gratitude, service, the only thing that's left for us is the old patterns, the old ideas, the old ways of doing things. And as we practice believing in that God that will restore us to sanity, we practice turning our will and our life over to the care of God. We're free, free from all that emotional entanglement, free to risk helping somebody, free to pay attention to others, not just within AA, but in all our affairs, relational, work, Being a good citizen, a good neighbor, this is the practice. This is what transforms us, not because we have the power to do it, but because there is a power which we have come to believe in, and which we decided to turn our will and our own life over so that we could live a fuller, deeper, and more meaningful life. Now, Sunday afternoon, 2:15. I'm on a phone with a sponsee of mine named Ahmed. We've been working together for months. He's stuck on step four. And he's been writing. Says he's almost done. I know that tone. I say, Ahmed, did you write this week? Silence. Then I meant to. I got busy with work. Now, I could let that go. I could say, okay, call me next week. I could be nice. But that's not sponsorship. That's not service. So I say, Ahmed, you've been busy with work for 3 weeks. You're not stuck on step four. You're avoiding step four. And I get it. It's hard. It's supposed to be hard. But the longer you'd wait, the harder it gets. More silence. Then he says quietly, I don't know if I can do this. And that's the moment. I say, you can't, not alone. That's the whole point. But you don't have to do it alone. I'm here. God's here. The program is here. And you've got until Thursday to write one page. Not the whole inventory, just one page. And then we talk. Will you do that? He said, yes. I don't know if he will, but I showed up. I held him accountable, not for my sake, for his. That's carrying the message. Not preaching, not lecturing, not fixing, just showing up, extending a hand, being available. Because someone did that for me, someone sat with me. When I didn't know if I wanted to live, someone told me the truth when I couldn't find it myself. And now I get to do that for someone else. Not because I'm better than I was, not because I arrived, because I'm awake. Back on that bench, July 1980, blue sky. The sound of the children playing, families I didn't know, the world been living in but not seeing, sitting there, imagining my higher power sitting next to me, and feeling for the first time in my life that everything was okay, that I had purpose, that I had meaning, and that all was well. That sharpness, that clarity from that moment to this moment here in 2026 has stayed with me. Not that I've always been humble, not that I have always been grateful, not that I've always been comfortable. I've never reverses in my life. I've had many reverses in my life. That's just part of living. But I knew the difference. There's an old saying, you can't unring a bell that has rung. You heard it. I heard it. And that's what's important. Back on that bench, that blue sky, the knowing, not new, restored. Thank you very much for your generous listening. It's a little bit short this week. I will just say this. I've been with you folks for 3 months. It's hard to believe. But I appreciate everybody showing up. The service that I've witnessed is nothing less than a miracle for me. I got to see and meet people who, for maybe for the first time in their life, are excited about not drinking, about being sober. And I get to be a part of that. And I'll be ever grateful thinking of the service that the group has put on all over the world, where people can come and a safe place to share their experience, to be encouraged and supported, to be validated that we're not bad people. Maybe we're sick. You see, the 12th step is the freedom in which all of us have been yearning to get to all our lives. It is the path deep down inside ourselves that we've been trying to get to. You see, alcohol could not destroy that sacred identity. It could bury it, but it couldn't destroy it. The 12 steps is about opening this up, cleaning out the residue, cleaning out the swamp, so we begin to see who we truly are. Not our roles, not our defects of character, but our sacred identity. My friends, I've been sober and in this community for a lot of years. And today, I am so grateful to be a part of your life. I'll turn it back now. Thank you.
That was it.